How's it going, hockey fans? This is episode 73 of the ClapperCast. I'm Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Sean. Sean, how's it going today?
Getting very excited here. It's Monday evening. Hockey starts in less than 2 days. Very excited to get the season back going here. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's kind of seemed like a long wait, but very eager to get back into the routine of having kind of a light in my life again with hockey coming back. It's I've really missed it. And
as long as your team scores, the light's there.
Sean and I have been doing some fantasy draft, and it's really been kind of getting that excitement just to the next level, you know, researching all the different guys in the leagues and checking what lines they play on again after our previews. So it's kind of just checking in on teams that we didn't write about, and it's I know I've been really excited about it.
Yeah, this is my first year getting actually into fantasy hockey, so it's really fun to kind of get to that different side of the game, to kind of look at more of the stats and kind of what different players do and what they excel at, and you know, trying to be sneaky and find those sleeper picks, the breakout guys.
Yeah, it's fun. It kind of helps put your knowledge of the game a little bit to the test, kind of, you know, picking your guys, and it gives you a reason to watch more games and to be excited about players, and it kind of really fits into that hockey fan mindset rather than just a fan of one specific team. You get excited about guys doing well on other teams, where if you just watched games of your favorite team, you wouldn't really do that. I'm excited to kick off the season. Sean and I go head to head in one of our leagues, and I think we both have probably the top two teams in the league, and
we're definitely up there.
So I'm excited to see who wins that and who earns the bragging rights just to start off the season. So we'll keep everyone posted on how that goes. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to do some sort of bet, maybe a shot glass bet
of an
Oilers or a Caps one, maybe, or a team of your choosing.
The Vegas placeholders.
Yes, Seattle. Maybe that could be it. Seattle.
There we go.
So we'll work on that and figure it out. We'll probably post on Instagram what's going on with that. To kind of take off where we left off last week, we had just previewed the North and West divisions, and now we've got two more divisions to cover with the Central and the East. And so, Sean, let's start in the Central, I suppose, and make our way East. So who in this division do you think will take the number one spot?
Chicago.
Yeah. Okay.
No, honestly, this division to me
not
is
Detroit.
A very...
Not Detroit. What the hell?
Not Detroit. Only Chicago, all the way.
Yeah. Okay.
No, this division's very okay. Meh for me. Like this from when these division alignments got announced, it was just this is Tampa Bay's division. That's it. We're done.
Yeah. It kind of is a bummer that it ends up being like just so unbalanced. It's interesting that you've got the two teams that faced off in the Stanley Cup Finals in the same division, with
that'll
Dallas
be a fun
also
matchup.
Being included in here. But Dallas is going to be without a lot of their guys. Tampa has some injuries as well, but I think Dallas is poised to be not quite as successful as Tampa going into the season. And so I agree with you that it's going to be Tampa's. It's really Tampa's to lose. Unless something dramatic happens. I mean, they're out without Kucherov, but we've talked a lot about their depth, and they've got a lot of guys ready to step up into those shoes. And, you know, they added some guys at the deadline who were more long-term additions, like Blake Coleman. And, you know, we've seen that he's been able to kind of carry the Devils when he was still there. And so maybe he can step into a bigger role.
Yanni Gord is going to be a name to watch in Tampa. He's going to get a lot more ice time with Kucherov being out. And his last two seasons, he's regressed. He's gone down from like 60 points to, I think, 40 or something. He had a really good year a few years ago and just kind of disappeared a bit. So he's going to get a lot more ice time with Kucherov out, and it'll be important for him, for Tampa's depth scoring, for Gord to bounce back a bit.
Yeah, and I think one thing that also is kind of cool is that Stamkos has moved over to the wing. And, you know, he's usually played center, but he's been used at wing sometimes. But, you know, we saw how much he put the team first in the playoff run. And, he'll basically do whatever the team asks him to do. And so he's moved up to wing to play with Point. And so
that's interesting to me that Point gets the center spot over Stamkos. Usually it's the like the elder statesman of the roster gets center over the younger guy.
Yeah, I think it'll just allow Stamkos to just shoot more, maybe.
Oh, it could be. That's a good one, actually.
Trigger man on that line. And
that's
then,
a good point.
I think it'll open up a spot for Anthony Cirelli to play probably second line center. And he's got a real opportunity to, you know, show that he's more valuable to the team and he can produce and not just be kind of a two-way guy, but can also, you know, provide some of that offense. And so, yeah, they're really poised to just take this division. And then I think it's really going to be the battle for second in this division, really. Second and third will be a little bit tighter.
Maybe I'm placing a bit too much faith in Dallas, but I still see Dallas as having a solid grasp on second in this division.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've got a real opportunity to take it, but they've got some goaltending depth issues right now where Ben Bishop is going to miss most of the season, I think. And then they've got Khudobin, who's quarantining right now. I don't know if he'll start the season. But then they've got Jake Ottinger. And, I mean, Khudobin showed he can be a reliable goaltender, but I don't know. I just don't hope that that tandem, and they don't have Sagan. If Jamie Benn plays like he did in playoffs, I think he'll be able to carry whatever line he's on. But you know, with just Benn and Radulov is the remnants of that first line. I'm not sure if they can really, you know, carry on where they were.
Right.
I think they've got a real good shot at finishing in the top three.
I guess they also don't have Hero and Saint Corey Perry.
Let's be honest,
this year as well.
No, but they still have Joe Pavelski, and so he was also scoring at a really good clip in playoffs. And so if he can, you know, if they can plop him in front of the net and he can tip anything that comes his way and just gets a bunch of garbage goals, that could really help them out. I mean, they've still got some very impressive offense coming from the D line. They've got Haskinen, who was their point leader in playoffs. They've got John Klingberg, and so I think, you know, they still have a really good team, and I think that they're going to be up there. But
I guess to build on your point about their injuries, because this Dallas Stars team last year is one of the worst offensive teams in the league. They kind of got by on goaltending and defense. So if their goaltending depth is shot, and, you know, maybe they struggle because they haven't necessarily shown the ability to score consistently, you know, enough to beat teams like Tampa Bay, like Carolina, that have a little bit more offensive firepower.
Yeah, totally right. They have had, you know, the top three, I want to say, goaltending in the last couple seasons, just in terms of, you know, goals against average and save percentage for the tandem, and goals saved above average. They've had really, really good goaltending, and so without Ben Bishop there to be the number one guy, and just Khudobin with any real proven track record in the league, I'm a little nervous about that. And Hudobin's never been a starter, right? He's just been a backup guy, and so can he handle starting more games? He did in playoffs, but, you know, we've seen random goaltenders come out of nowhere, have a really hot playoffs, and then disappear. So can he?
Right.
Exactly. Lots. There's so many examples. And so, I mean, Antti Niemi.
There's another one.
So we'll see. But I think that they're going to be hard pressed to just waltz into playoffs with the current roster that they have. They're going to have to really perform every night.
So the hope is going to be, because their hope is going to be that some of the younger guys like Roope Hintz and Denis Gurianov and Joel Kivaranta contribute offensively to kind of help mitigate the potential for a bit of a defensive and or goaltending lapses.
Yeah, they're going to have some step-ups from some of those guys for sure. I think Jamie Benn is playing with, or has been playing in camp with Gurianov and Hintz. And I think Radulov's been playing on the line too with Pavelski. And so, yeah, they're going to have to score more goals. That's really always Dallas's issue, right? Is got to score.
Yeah.
Got to score more than two goals a game. So, yeah, I think they're going to be hard-pressed against, like, Columbus and Carolina and, you know, maybe and Nashville to battle for those playoff spots behind Tampa Bay. So, yeah, I mean, who else do you think's in the race here? I really think it's going to be between, after Tampa Bay, Nashville, Columbus, and Carolina and Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of rankings, I've got Tampa Bay, Dallas, Carolina, Nashville, Columbus, Florida. Now, Carolina I see as kind of the high end and Dallas too of like the 2 to 6 spots. Nashville and Columbus I see kind of as mid-range. I think Columbus is just a solid team. Like, they're not great, but they're not bad. So they're just going to kind of bring up the average spot and probably fight for that fourth playoff spot. Nashville, I don't know what to expect of them because of how underperforming they were last year. Like, are they going to bounce back? Do they still have what it takes? You know, is UC Saros going to be good enough as a starter? Because I think he's taken over that role from Pekka-Rinne. You know, Florida's kind of in the same boat that they kind of had a bit of a weaker roster coming into this year than last year, I think. But the biggest question for them is just going to be on Sergei Bobrovsky. That, I mean, their $10 million goalie is playing like a backup. Is he going to actually be a starter this year? Is he back on the force?
I don't know. It might be Dreger's force.
Exactly.
It's tough. I mean, they lost Hoffman and Dadonov, and they've got Duclair to play on the first line, and they've got Hornqvist to play. With that goaltending, I don't know if they're going to have enough offense to just give them, you know, the run support that they need. I see them kind of on the outside looking in when it comes down to
it. Same here.
Just because they lost too much, and their goaltending is just super inconsistent. And then even in playoffs, Bobrovsky was not good. I think I posted in my write-up for Florida that one of the goals he let in, he was just standing there, and the guy just kind of like from the goal line just
shot
it between his legs.
I'm pretty sure I clipped that and sent it to you, just like, what is this goal? How did this even happen?
Yeah, just not looking good. And then Nashville, you know, I think I've got more faith in their goaltending with UC Saros taking kind of set to take the reins a little bit from Pekka-Rinne. He was good last season. They've got this still seems weird to me to say, but they've got the first full-ish season for head coach John Hines, which is just weird that he's the coach there.
Doesn't make sense, right?
So it seems like they have a lot of things that have to go right to play in playoffs. But,
yep.
I mean, if their top line can turn it around, if they've got that Jofa line with Johansson, Arvidsson, and Philip Forsberg, if they're flying, I think the team's going to be doing okay because they've got some good defense. And, yeah, so it's just those two things have to go right. So I see them relevant. But
they'll be in the mix.
It's going to be a tough battle, I think, but for these teams that are looking for that second, third, fourth spot here.
Yeah. I want to talk about Carolina for just a second, because one of the things that they really struggled with last season was their scoring depth. They didn't have a whole lot past Aho, Teravainen, and Svechnikov. And what ended up happening is that power line had to get split up constantly, where they'd have them playing on, you know, one, two, or three lines individually, because no one else could score. So Carolina really needs depth players to step up and produce offense from second and third line so that Carolina can run Aho, Svechnikov, and Teravainen as, you know, as their first line, because those three together are one of the best trios in the league. But they need to be able to run them together. They're going to be hoping they brought in Vinny Trocheck to be probably second line center or something like that, somewhere in the middle. They've also got Martin Nikish, who's going to be taking on a bigger role as well this year. And, you know, he had a pretty good rookie's year last year, so they're going to be looking for more from him. And they're going to really need guys like Jordan Staal and Nino Niederreiter to bounce back and produce more offensively. just to kind of help shore up that lineup, because you have to be more than a one line team.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think the last team that I think will be in the mix is Columbus. I think kind of on the, they're kind of on the opposite end of Florida on the spectrum as far as goaltending. I think that this is really their strength. And they've got, you know, they're a well-coached team. They've got some players that show that they're extremely talented in the playoffs. Pierre-Luc Dubois. They've got some off-ice drama going on right now with Dubois. There's rumors that he requested a trade, but, you know, he's going to be their number one guy. He's going to be competing. They signed him to a two-year deal. It seems like they've kind of stifled it out for now. And, you know, I kind of like what they did in the offseason, bringing in guys like Miku Koivu, to bring in some veteran leadership to replace, you know, guys like Dubinsky, who are probably going to be retiring because he missed all of last season. I don't think he's played in camp, Dubinsky. He's got some ongoing issues, upper body issues, I believe, like wrist issues. And so he's probably going to be retired. You know, they've got some guys that are out, like Nyquist. But, you know, I just think that they're so well coached and they play such a good game that they've got a really good shot at it if their goaltending can just, you know, bail them out. They've got some interesting players who are coming into the lineup. They've got, like, Alexander Texier, who's going to be amazing for them for many years. You know, he was matched up against Kucherov and was just such a pain in that series. And so he'll be a lot of fun.
Perfect fit for Columbus's roster right now with how the style of hockey that they play for a guy like Texier to come into the lineup and just be an absolute pest. Just a gritty pest.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They've got one of the best defense pairings in the league with Seth Jones and Zach Werenski. They've got guys like Vladislav Gavrikov and David Savard, Dean Kukan in the second and third pairings. I don't know why I like Columbus so much, but I see them as kind of in the mix here too.
I see them as being a little bit stronger offensively too, as Dubois kind of takes over the team for his own, but also with hopefully a healthy Oliver Bjorkstrand. He should provide a nice boost to their scoring. Bringing in Max Domi is probably a pretty good fit for them as well, with his style of play and his offense will be much, much needed in Columbus's depth.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bjorkstrand is a guy that I drafted, taking it all the way back to the beginning of our conversation here. Bjorkstrand's a guy that I drafted, I picked up in my fantasy pools last season, and he really, at points, was just like scoring every game and shooting a lot, and he had like a career high shot total this season, even though he was hurt quite a bit. He's definitely on pace to score a lot more, and if he can stay healthy and stay on that line with Pierre-Luc Dubois, I think that that's a really good combination. And yeah, having Max Domi on this team, I think he'll really, really fit in well. Seems like a good Tortorella type player. And then they've got like guys like Liam Foudy as well, right, who are looking to crack the lineup and come in and provide some more offense. So I just think that, you know, starting at the goal line and working your way forward, it's like they're really strong at goaltending. They have a good defense. Their offense is coming along. I think that they can probably win some close games. Yep. And if their goaltending can shut the door, they'll be in there.
Yeah, they could also really boost their standings position by beating Tampa Bay all 8 times. Got to go for the full sweep.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we didn't point out about Montreal, but Montreal doesn't have to play Detroit this year, so, you know, they won't lose every game to the worst team in the league.
Oh, man.
So that's kind of funny, but...
speaking of Detroit.
Yeah, speaking of Detroit, I'm guessing it's pretty safe to say that we both agree that they'll not be making playoffs.
Correct.
Just like Chicago.
I picked Chicago to win the division. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, no. Detroit, probably seventh, not competitive, but they're kind of an interesting team because what Yzerman did over the offseason, just bringing in a whole bunch of random players. It looks like what he's trying to do is, like we've talked about this before, where he's just bringing in people for upping their value during the season and it playing them in higher spots than they're used to playing and then shipping them off at the deadline sometime for draft picks, something along those lines. So we could see an interesting combination
of players.
Yeah,
if they can do
here.
That, it'll be a victory.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be their own Stanley Cup, is if they can, you know, ship a bunch of those guys off and get some more draft picks or prospects. That's really what they need to do, and, you know, have a good season, trade them away.
Exactly. And, I mean, Chicago. All I wrote down in my notes besides Chicago is just LOL.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for them. They kind of had that surprising little playoff appearance, and they beat Edmonton and then, you know, did not move any further than that. But they've got Jonathan Toews, who's not going to play. It's unknown for how long. Kirby Dach, of course, got hurt in the prelims for World Junior, so he's out. They've got Dylan Strome, DeBrincat, Kane, and Kubalik on forward, basically. And then some really old defensemen and no goalies. So yeah. I don't really see them being super competitive.
No,
but
no. They're going to put up a really bad record this year, I think.
Yeah. And with, you know, they've won a bunch of cups, and so this is just, you know, part of the process.
It's the natural cycle of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you can see that same situation with Detroit, right? You've got the 25-year streak of making playoffs. This is kind of the other side of it. Like, once you say, okay, well, we're tired of just losing in the first round. We want to actually, you know, do a rebuild here. That's what it looks like. So, yeah. So they're both not going to be making it. But, you know, they can have successful seasons in other ways. But maybe let's transition over to the East Division, which I think is going to be like the division of death here.
This is the absolute thunderdome of the NHL right now. This Eastern Division. Not in any particular order, but we've got Boston, Buffalo, the Rangers, the Islanders, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, and Washington in this division. So, I mean, I'm looking down here, and I see three or four teams with a realistic shot of winning the President's Trophy and two or three more teams that could easily make the playoffs. Like, this is just insane, the amount of high-end, high-caliber teams in this one division.
Yeah, it's really going to be tough to, like, and they're just locked in together. I mean, the Metro, where most of these teams come from, has been, you know, the division of death for a while. It's been the Metro Bowl. And they've got a little bit of a reprieve where they don't have to play each other every single game. But now it's just going to be they're locked in. And then,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, Buffalo, you've gotten a lot better. But, you know, here you go. Here's your reward for going big when getting Taylor Hall. You play with, like, the big boys now, right?
Yeah, you're stuck in this, like, division of death.
And we'll take one of the best teams from your division, put them in there too. So we'll throw Boston in as well. So, yeah.
It's like, screw you guys.
Sucks to be Buffalo right now.
Honestly,
I think
looking back to the old Atlantic Division, this would have been the season that I would have started picking them as like a wild card or like a long shot to make a wild card spot for the playoffs, that they might, you know, they might kind of hit the right hot streak and sustain it long enough to be, you know, a contending team in the playoffs. Now we'll just put you in the toughest division, bring Boston over too, you're good, have fun.
Yeah, but yeah, and they've got Taylor Hall on a one-year deal, and it's like, this is gonna last hopefully just this season, and then next year it's like, okay, well, where were we, I guess? So, I mean, I think that there's a few candidates here to win, just like you. My favorite is probably the Flyers, just based on how they finished last season. They were poised to really steal the division banner from the Capitals. They were really doing well at the end of the season. They had a little bit of a falter in playoffs, but I think they've got some guys coming back from some, you know, they've got Oscar Lindblom coming back. They've got Nolan Patrick coming back, which are two amazing stories. They've got Gritty. They've got a top seven center in the league with Kevin Hayes. They've got Carter Hart. They had Matt Niskanen retire, but, you know, they got Gustafson. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they're my pick for the winners of this division. How about you?
I still lean towards Boston to take the division. I'm kind of torn between Boston, Washington, Philadelphia for taking the win in the division, but Boston's just got the track record to me. And despite the fact that they are going to be missing like David Pastrnak for the first part of the season, despite their defense taking a major blow losing Krug and Chara, I think they'll be able to figure that out quick enough that they have enough of a team, enough of the system and the strategies and like that atmosphere with the excellent leadership provided by guys like Bergeron and Marchand, and just the length of the sustained success of this team, that they'll be able to just kind of ride through it and still, you know, make out pretty well.
Yeah, Boston's always a good pick. You know, they've got Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grizzlick, and Brennan Carlo.
Yep, so those are three guys who have been...
elevate their game.
Yeah, they've been getting, you know, trained up and, you know, taught by Zdeno Chara, one of the, you know, best defenders of our generation. You know, they spent years playing with, like I said, the excellent leadership around the rest of the team. And I think, you know, McAvoy's kind of been in the wings, just hiding under Krug for a couple of seasons now. And now is his chance to shine. I think he'll probably be able to take the reins and, you know, take charge of this defense.
Yeah, I think Matt Grizzlick's probably going to take the power play spot. But yeah, I think McAvoy's your guy. To be like the number one guy, and he's of course played with Chara on a pairing, so yeah, I think they've got some guys that are ready to kind of take the next step. They've still got Rask and Halak, so that's awesome. And then they've got some younger guys coming in on forward as well. Yeah, they're going to be up there for sure. Of course, they'll be out with Pastrnak for a while, and then Marchand is. He had like sports hernia surgery, and so he's kind of like, it's kind of flip flopping if he's going to be able to start the season or not.
I think the consensus right now is that he is ready to go, and he'll be ready for the season opener. It sounds like him and Bergeron are back on the top line, and you mentioned some of the younger guys coming up before. It sounds like the Bruins' first line for the start of the season is going to be Bergeron, Marchand, and Jack Studnicka.
What a stud!
Pretty much, right? He's named and primed to be ready to go for this position.
Yep. yeah, and I think beyond Boston, I'm happy to hear that you think that Washington has a shot, but I don't think that they do with the news that they've got a starting tandem of Ilya Samsonov and Vitek Vanacek.
That's gonna be tough.
I'm a little hesitant about what that's going to be like for the team. But I mean, hopefully their defense can, you know, help out the goalies. They've got Chara now, which is weird to see. And so I think their defense should be better, this season. They've got Chara, Schultz, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk that they've added for defense, but they've still got Carlson, Orlov, Jensen, Kempney's hurt, and they've got Brendan Dillon, and so, you know, they've got a pretty good defensive roster right now. So hopefully they can help the young goalies out, and then forwards, they're almost identical as they were last year, but they've got Connor Sherry and another Penguin that I'm forgetting right now, former Penguin rather. So yeah. You know, they should be able to score still. And they've got a new head coach.
Yeah.
Who's known for immediate success with teams. And yeah, I think that they should be in contention for a playoff spot, but I don't think that they're going to win the division.
So where I kind of see them, see it a little bit differently is that Washington's always been able to outscore their problems, because that was kind of a knock on them for years, was a lack of defense and goaltending issues, but they always did okay because they outscored it. I still see them as having a lot of that core that's capable of doing that. And also, like you mentioned, Laviolette, you know, he comes in and he's just kind of one of those coaches that crashes and burns in 3 years, but he gets a lot out of the first year or two. And, you know, this team is mostly the same as last season. They did quite well last year overall. Goalies, I do see them as an issue, but Samsonov was quite good last year. And, I've never really watched Vanecek play, but it sounds like he's done well enough in the minors that he just kind of got... He could have gotten a chance with another team, but he just got passed over by Samsonov. So they could be okay. Could be kind of a Columbus situation like in last season where, you know, the young goalies come in and do all right. But, you know, it could go horribly wrong if they don't get the support they need from in front. But, you know, we'll kind of see where that goes. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll have a successful winning season. I'm just nervous about the goaltending, and I'm also nervous because it's Ovechkin's last contract year. And so is he going to re-sign? Are they going to be able to re-sign him, Samsonov, and Vrana at the end of the season? How much longer will Ovechkin sign for? Because it's kind of rumored he wants to retire with Backstrom at the same time, which I think would be perfect. But, you know, how much money does he want, and will it happen? So I think their cup window is closing, and so they've kind of got to make a push here. So I think they'll be up there, but not, you know, they won't get first place, because Philly was set to pass them last year, and I think Philly's just got momentum, and they've got some good storylines, and they've just got some players that are on their way up.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Philly. They've got a very, very deep forward group, so it's going to be interesting to watch them, where they can kind of ice like three first lines up and up front. So that's kind of an unusual thing to say about a team.
Yeah. And then past those three, I think that it's probably going to be between the Islanders and Penguins for the next spot. I like the Islanders. You know, they are pretty much the same. Barzal didn't really get too much of a camp here. He signed very recently, and so he might be a little rusty coming in. You know, they should still have a good chance at making playoffs, and they've got a rookie goaltender coming in to play backup to Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin. And the Islanders with Mitch Korn have shown that they can just turn goalies around or have goalies be really good. They've had Leonard, they've had Varlamov, they've had Grice. And so Sorokin is supposed to be, I think, the best goalie that didn't play in the NHL last season. And so, it'll be interesting to see how he does with this team. But yeah, I think that they're, you know, as long as they can score, which has been kind of their problem, like Dallas almost, they should be in it. And Pittsburgh, just like the Capitals, are kind of on the last legs here of cup windows, and they've got a rookie goalie, or not rookie, but
starter.
Sort of a rookie goaltender taking the helm here. Yeah. Yeah. So that could go well, or it could go bad. And with the defense they have, I'm thinking it's going to go bad.
You don't place a lot of faith in Matheson and Cody Ceci?
No. No, I don't.
No. And no.
No, I like Letang. I like Pettersson, and I like
Dumoulin's good
Dumoulin.
Too.
But yeah, I don't like Ceci or Matheson. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to rule a team with Crosby and Malkin out, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I see the next tier's division the same way as you, except I throw the Rangers in there. That amount of prospects and the firepower that this team has, getting Shesterkin in net as well, that I think they could really be poised to make a jump this year, especially if someone like Kaapo Kakko can, you know, bounce back and have a better sophomore season than his rookie year. They're getting Lafreniere in, and you know they've got Keandre Miller on defense, who's really, really impressing with camp, to the point that he's been paired with Jacob Trouba in some scrimmage situations. So they've got a lot of these young guys coming in. They've already got, you know, Zibanejad and Panarin leading this team. And the more of these prospects and exciting young players are bringing in, it's just going to be just a very exciting team. They're going to be very unreliable, and they're probably going to give up a lot of goals and stuff. But they could also really outscore their problems very easily. So I throw them in this mid-tier as well. I could see them getting lucky, getting some rookie luck, and making a push for that fourth spot. But I see the Penguins as being the best bet for number four in the division, and then the Islanders and Rangers kind of battling out for fifth. But either any three of those teams could take that fourth playoff spot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close for... This division is going to be a lot closer, I think, than the Central in terms of first place.
Oh, big time.
And then just, you know, who's after that.
Well, they've got six teams competing for all the spots, right? So way different than the Central, where it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, you've got a team or two competing for each one. But I mean, any six of these teams we've talked about so far could take any of the spots realistically.
Yeah, it's like the normal Metro, but replace Carolina with Boston.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's basically it, right?
It's going to be tough. And then, you know, Buffalo will probably do better than the Devils. And it really sucks that they landed in this division, because I think what you said earlier is totally accurate, where, you know, they, in the normal Atlantic, they might have had a shot at getting a wild card spot. But, you know, these Metro teams are so good that they probably would have taken those wild card spot anyways. And so it sucks that they're in here. I think it'll be a interesting season for them. I don't know. It sucks to be them right now.
Big time. It'll be in, you know, on the other hand, it could be a good year for a young team to get to play against some of these teams that are like so experienced and so good for so long. That a lot of, you know, for Eichel and Cousins and Mittelstadt and all them to get to play regular games against Boston, Washington, Pittsburgh, these teams that have just, you know, legends of our generation playing for them. Could be a good experience for them to kind of see what the winning teams do and have done.
Yeah, and honestly, if they play against this division, which is by far, I think, the strongest division, is like in terms of amount of strong teams, maybe next season, if they can retain most of their team, they come out and they just stomp in the Atlantic, because they've been playing against like the best competition every single game. There hasn't been, you know, a super weak. There's not as many super weak teams in the division. So, you know, maybe they hang on to Taylor Hall. Maybe they get Mark Stahl to hang, Eric Stahl to hang around. Maybe Skinner does bounce back a bit and scores a few more goals. Maybe Ullmark becomes their de facto starter. Dahlin kind of shows that he can take a next step. So, there's a lot to look forward to, and you get to see your team play against really good competition. Maybe that means they get a few less wins per season, but, you know, they're playing really good hockey, and like you said, they're battling against really tough competition, and, you know, they can watch the tape and, you know, say like, okay, well, this is what we could have done, blah blah blah. And so, yeah, it gets kind of tough that they ended up in this situation, but I think they have to approach it and make the best of it. And then the Devils, you know, kind of much the same. They're in a different state than the Buffalo Sabres are in terms of, you know, rebuilding and retooling. And so they've got a lot of young players, and so much the same, you know, take this experience as playing against the best players in the world and just try to improve and stay competitive and keep that mentality of wanting to win and not just getting prepared to lose every night.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I see the Devils are going to be
definitely the bottom.
Yeah. Bottom. They're going to be in tough in this division. I just don't see them having much of a chance competing with anybody there. The big stories for them, it's going to be to kind of follow and see what happens with PK Subban, because he had an atrocious year last season. It was like the worst of his career, basically. Is he going to bounce back? Is he going to, you know, find his groove again? Jack Hughes had a fairly unimpressive rookie season, if I remember correctly. So we're going to hopefully get to see if he improves a little bit and comes back and, you know, I think one of his issues was just size and being able to physically compete with NHL players. Is he going to be able to do that this year? We could see kind of a, you know, breakout season for him in that regard. And then we have Mackenzie Blackwood and Nett. I've talked about him a lot on this podcast through last season because he was just so good and made such a difference to that Devils roster. He is now their basically only goalie. So he's going to get all of the games. He's going to get so much time in net. He was one of the better goalies in the league last season. So, you know, if anyone's going to steal their game or two here for the Devils, it's going to be Blackwood. And they're kind of lucky here to have a goalie that appears to be of his caliber on this team already, because it'll kind of set them up well for if the team starts to turn it around. It'll help them do that a bit quicker.
New Jersey and an awesome goaltender. Name a more iconic duo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think they've got kind of the beginnings of a new core here, right? They've got Hischier, Jack Hughes, Mackenzie Blackwood. They've got like about a million Team Canada World Juniors players that they've got in their prospect pool. And so, you know, they can keep building that and kind of, you know, build that core. Play competitive hockey, and yeah, I think I said this in my prediction, my write-up, but you know, they're kind of poised to elevate as a lot of those other teams are coming down, with Washington and Pittsburgh. You know, those teams are kind of in the window, and Boston, you know, they're kind of in the window right now, but they're definitely kind of on the downswing, whereas teams like New Jersey and the Rangers are kind of on the upswing here, right? So I think, you know, New Jersey's not going to be making a significant push this season, but, you know, hey, two seasons from now, you know, these players will have that experience playing against some really tough competition every single game, and, you know, they've got a chance at building something exciting here. But bottom of the division right now.
Yeah. You know, you've got Detroit and Chicago, who are kind of consensus two of the worst teams in the league for the season. But they're playing in a slightly weaker division where they might be able to get a few more points compared to New Jersey and maybe to a lesser extent Buffalo, who have better rosters. They project better generally, but they're playing against a lot tougher competition. So do they maybe end up being, you know, worse in the league per se?
Yeah, I think so. I think because they're locked into this division, I think that they probably will have a worse record. Maybe not worse than Detroit, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the lottery after this season. Do they wait, you know, things like strength of schedule, for example, in that, because it's like, yeah, you faced off against teams that their winning percentage was, or their, I don't know. It's going to be really weird to see how it all plays out, because yeah, there's going to be a lot of people arguing online like, yeah, my team had it the worst, you know, like we lost a bunch, but the teams that were in our division were way better than the Central or something. So yeah, I wonder if there's going to be any changes there, or if someone's going to really benefit, like maybe New Jersey, you know. They're not the overall worst team in the league, but they end up with the worst record, and they can get another number one.
Yeah, that could be an interesting interesting happening for the season. How the strength of the schedule influences the teams at the bottom, and kind of which teams finish last overall. Because, I mean, we've never specifically mentioned it, but this season, with the way the divisions are set up, you're only playing within your division. So you don't get the interdivision or interconference play that you had in previous seasons to balance it out a bit. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to kind of watch how that plays out.
Maybe the Rangers, if they miss playoffs, they move up again in the draft lottery for the third time, and they might get like number one or number two overall or something. How many times can that happen? Yeah, I think there might be a team that does that sort of bullshit, and it really screws over the team that really was the worst overall. So in either of these divisions, is there any player that you think is really poised to bounce back or break out or maybe regress?
So we kind of briefly alluded to him, but this is going to be Dylan Strome's chance to kind of establish himself as a top NHL player. He's sort of struggled a bit in his development. He kind of stagnated in his time with Arizona. He ended up in Chicago, and he was good for a bit, but then he kind of disappeared. Now, what's happened this season is that he's found himself in the position of number one center with Kirby Dach and Jonathan Toews both out. So Dylan Strome's going to get a chance with Patrick Kane and who's going to be on that other wing, Kubalik, DeBrincat, someone like that. He's going to get a chance with these great offensive players to not only boost his point totals and kind of show himself as an offensive weapon, but also as a two-way forward, because he's going to be playing with Patrick Kane, who is not exactly a great defensive forward, and, you know, DeBrincat and Kubalik, who are both young forwards who haven't really shown themselves to be two-way forwards either. So he's going to get a chance on both sides of the puck to kind of establish himself as a big-name NHLer.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. I've got Denis Gurianov on Dallas. He has a really big opportunity ahead of him right now, just like Dylan Strome, taking advantage of another player being out with injury. Denis Gurianov can take advantage of Tyler Seguin being out and play on the top line. Him and Hintz, really. More minutes. Hintz and Gurianov played together last season, so maybe they can bring their chemistry to Jamie Benn. Gurianov had a really good playoffs, and so maybe he can take that momentum, carry it into the season, and start scoring more for Dallas, which would help their scoring issue. And then another guy that I've got, just because I think it would be a really good feel-good story that everyone could really use right now for Philadelphia, is Oscar Lindblom and Nolan Patrick. And so Oscar Lindblom was actually playing very, very well before he was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma and had to, you know, put the season on hold. He was playing really well, and so if he can come back and, you know, produce again, that would be really, really cool. I think all hockey fans would really be excited about that. And the same thing for Nolan Patrick, who missed all of last season with migraine issues. And so he's actually been cleared to play again. And so if he can come back and kind of take off from where his career was two seasons ago, that would be really, really exciting. And so those are kind of the two guys that I'm really pulling for the most going into this season, just because I think that, you know, they both really could need it, and it would just be such a great story for the league. Anybody else that you had in mind?
Yeah, I was going to move over to Buffalo here as well. You briefly mentioned him as well, with Linus Ullmark in net. So last season, Ullmark started as the backup. The Sabres wanted Carter Hutton as their starter, but, you know, Hutton kind of struggled. He was dealing with some vision problems, and Ullmark took over. Ullmark's stats, his performance weren't great. They weren't a high-end starter, but he had shown signs of being, you know, a guy who could potentially take over this team for a couple of years in net. And they're going to be really, you know, the Sabres didn't go after anyone, any goalies in free agency. They gave the confidence to Linus Ullmark to take over the starter's position for this year, and now it's going to be his chance to kind of prove them right, to make sure, you know, to show that they gave him the right, that they put their faith in the right goalie. And he had one of the better even strength save percentages in the league last season. I think the Sabres are kind of done in by a garbage penalty kill that if they've addressed in the roster by bringing in guys like Sheahan and Tobias Reeder. So they've now got Ullmark, who had one of the better even strength save percentages in the league. They've improved the penalty kill, and it could be a very good chance for him to take over or to really establish himself as a legitimate starter in the league.
Yeah. So I think overall the Jofa line in Nashville is probably due to bounce back, because they all kind of had subpar seasons. So the Victor Arvidsson, Philip Forsberg, and Ryan Johansson. For Nashville to compete, that those guys have to do better. They have to score more. I don't know if all three of them will, but I think, you know, my money's on Philip Forsberg doing better. He'd be the one that I'd be the most confident in. But I don't know. Victor Arvidsson has had a couple years now where I think it's been not so super great, and he's had some injury issues, and so I don't know. Maybe he moves down the lineup or something and somebody else moves up. They've got Eli Tolvanen, who's, you know, was super hyped up a couple of years ago and has kind of like faded a little bit, so maybe he's ready to take another crack at it.
I don't know if this is really like a player who's the caliber to fit on that line, but Rocco Grimaldi had a good season last year. And if one of those wingers doesn't bounce back or perform as well as they expect or need, Grimaldi's probably an energetic spark plug type that would fit in well and kind of maybe, you know, boost the performance or energize some of the other guys on the line.
Yeah, and the not last playoffs, but the one before, I remember hearing his name like all the time in Nashville games. This is Grimaldi was absolutely everywhere. And so you're totally right. That spark plug type player that like Hintz was two years ago as well for Dallas. And then on Nashville as well, you know, UC Saros could be poised here to show that he's, you know, a starting goaltender. He's a real deal. But yeah, I think that's kind of all the players that I wanted to mention here.
So I think that wraps things up for this time here on ClapperCast. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to our show on any podcast platform, and you can spread around the good word of ClapperCast with your family and friends. To keep up to date with the latest content, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at ClapperCast Media or on Twitter at ClapperCast. Thanks for listening, and we will be back next time with more hockey talk.